love the Lord tonight. Ain't God good? Amen. You know, I was thinking early today and just how blessed we are just to realize that, you know, we can get up and have an opportunity to just to be here, you know. And sometimes we think, y'all go ahead and be seated. We'll pray in a minute. I don't want you standing there while I'm blabbering. Sometimes, you know, we think, you know, we make it to Wednesday night, you know, well, you know, it ain't much going on, but really we miss a lot. You know, and I was telling Pastor Dave, you know, I need more than just a Sunday service. You know, and really when you get to thinking about it, I need more than Wednesday. Because, I need things, how many things in your life to happen? You know, so how are we going to get it? You know, we don't get it at home by just sitting. Because, you know, you say, you know, I know. How many knows? You turn on the TV, and that's where you're glued. Well, I'll study when I get home. You open up your Bible, you read a few scriptures, you get sleepy, you take a nap. Am I the only one? No. You know, and then you don't get the time, you know. But we need more than just a few days a week, you know. And what we need more, you know, I want to stay on the lines of what Mike Manuel was talking about revival. But, you know, yes, it comes in many different forms. And yes, it comes in many different ways, but you know what? But it takes you and I to start a revival. It takes you and I to be stirred, you know what? And yes, we can, you know, you can have revival by being quiet, but most revivals I've seen has been an outbreak. You know, it's been something that's just that'll blow the roof off the house. You know, a few years ago, I think 5 years ago, I was in a revival and it went 70 some days straight. People said, I think I missed maybe 3 or 4 nights of it because of other obligations. Seeing 101 people saved. Seeing churches from all denomination comes. I mean, there was Old Regular Baptist, Regular Baptist, Baptist, First Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Charismatic. I mean, at one time there was 11 different denominations in the house. You know, and there wasn't nobody wanting to be seen. Nobody, you know, it just fell into place, you know. And most of all, Brother Rick, what happened, there was unity. And when that unity fell in place like that, revival started. You know, and it started off just by a few little things, you know. And we think that sometimes that, you know, yes, it has to be a move of God, and it comes from God, but it starts in us. You know, you might be the one holding the revival. You might be the person holding the key to that revival. You know, and you might sit there and say, well, you know, I don't feel like getting up tonight. I don't feel like shouting. I don't feel like raising my hand. And I don't feel like running. I don't feel like. But you know what? You might be the start of that service. You know, and when Pastor's talking about certain things that day, and I said, I promise you, if that happens, this house will erupt. And he said, yeah, he'll go crazy. You know, but you know, and how many comes to church looking for something? I mean, when you come, are you attending just a service, or are you attending, or just well, Pastor see me here today, you know, him and Pastor Ed see me here today, I'll be okay, I'm all right. They won't put no black mark beside my name this week. But we need more than that, Rick. We need, let's pray. Let's meet me a prayer before I get started. I'll get started even. I told Pastor, I said, I think I can preach the socks off a rooster this morning. Father, we just thank you today for what we feel, Lord, for what's moving in the atmosphere, Lord. We thank you, Father, for everything that you're going to do, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to open up our hearts, Lord, and just drop it down in our heart, Lord, that where we can see, where we can feel, where we can hear, Lord, that the movement of God, that what you would want us to do in this house, what you would want us to do in your kingdom, what you would want us to do and where you would like to take us to, Lord. And we thank you for a mighty, mighty, mighty move of God. Put 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 on the screen. We know this scripture is popular, right? And it's been preached probably more than any scripture that I've heard in the last, since COVID. And when you look at it, I guess I'll get it up here. But it, yeah, somebody's up there. But you know, when you think about that, right off the bat, you know, it says, if my people, my people. Boy, I'm one of his, ain't you, Rick? We're one of his. That, look, yeah, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people that are called by my name, what does it say? Will humble, right? 2 Chronicles, not Corinthians. They heard you. I'm going to have to open my Bible up. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. You ought to underline seek my face. Because what are we seeking today? I mean, you think of what we're seeking today. I know by what we mean. You think about what Mike Manuel talked about revival. We're seeking revival. You need your family changed as much as I need my family changed. We need a healing, and I need a healing in my body just as much as some of you need a healing in your body. I need some breakthroughs in my life just as much as you need breakthroughs in your life, and you got to get it by seeking Him. And if you look at it, it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Turn from their wicked ways. Now listen, this is good. This is good. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We need to be on our knees, church. We need to be on our knees. We need to get right with God. I'm a Christian. Oh, we need to get on our knees and pray and have an old-fashioned revival on our knees and having a good talk with God. You know, and let God show you what you need in your life, because if there's something each one of us can do, whether it's pray for somebody, whether it's testify to somebody, whether it's witness to somebody to get somebody saved, there's a job waiting on you and I to do. You know what? And we're lacking something because, you know what, we're not seeking what God would want us to do. We're not going out and seeing what God would have us to do. We're more comfortable by just getting in the house of God and sitting there and waiting on somebody to move us, or waiting on a choir to sing some special song that'll get us excited. But you know what? It takes you and I to get excited, to get them excited, so they can get us re-excited again. That's what the move of God is. I mean, you know, I told you before, you get up here and you start shouting and you start praising, you know what? I promise you that choir will turn it on, Rick. Just like a preacher. The more you say amen, the longer he'll preach. Right? I'm serious, you know what? Because, you know, once that anointing gets stirred up, once you get stirred up, you know what? Once things begin to roll, once things begin to see, you don't want to shut up. Because why? Because there's something happening in you, you know what? And if it's happening here, and if it's happening in you, you know what? That means that the Spirit of God is here, you know what? And if it's here blessing you, or blessing a preacher, or blessing a choir, it's here to bless you too. So you know what? We need to seek that. John 16:33 says, in me, you're going to have peace, right? In the world, you'll have tribulations, means troubles. Anybody ever been frustrated? I'm sure nobody gets frustrated here. Right? No, you know, you look at what's going on in the world today. You know what? What's the devil trying more and more on us today than anything? It's to keep us frustrated. Why? By the tales? By the accusations? Think about what I'm saying here. By all the things that's going on, you know, he's trying to keep you from something. He's trying to keep this church from something right there. By letting everything that's going on right now that's going on, he's trying to hold us back. But right now is a time that where we have to press in, kick in, and jump up and say, you know what, devil, listen, I got something to tell you. We're still here, and I got something on my side that you can't get from me. I've got joy in my life. It's full of glory. It's unspeakable. And you can't take that from me. You know what? And that's where we need to be at times. We need to let joy break loose in our life. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Ha ha ha, Dad Hagen say, right? Yeah. People used to make fun. Well, that's nothing. Listen, he had joy in his life. Why? Because of some of this right here. For I have overcome the world. He's overcome everything in your life that you need. He's fixed your health. He's fixed your financial. He's saved your family. But we just ain't really, you know what? What we ain't done, we ain't seeked it enough to see it to come to pass. Thank you, brother. And another thing in this is when we talk about joy, joy that's unspeakable in what? Full of glory. We was talking out earlier in the area out there, me and Chuck and him, and we was talking about food and ice cream, milkshakes. Woo! I drive by a cookout and my car goes. You know what? When you start talking about it to others, it's like talking about, you know, your mama's cooking. It starts to bring joy in your life because you remember the things and the good times. But you know what? But we ought to have that joy talking about God. And when we begin to talk about God, something's to the stir in us. You know, and people that you're talking to ought to see it and feel it. You know, joy should be contagious. Shouldn't stop, but it should be contagious. You should be full of this joy. You know, and another thing it is too, you know, you can't get joy out there if you never act like you're happy. I've told you before, I've preached in some churches, man, let me tell you why. You couldn't have took dynamite and moved them. Is that what you want? Is that what we want? No. No, every service ain't hooping and hollering, jumping around and doing cartwheels. But you know what every service can be? It can be exactly what God wants it to be if you allow it. And what holds us back sometimes is that we don't allow it to be what God wants it to be. Because you know why? Because we're holding back. You know what? We're keeping things from God. God knows what we need. God, there ain't a doubt in my mind that in every service that's here, God is here to do something in somebody's life. Has everybody got every prayer answered? If you do, let's mean you talk after church. I want to know how you done it. Are you full? Do you need any more? Have you got enough, God? I mean, just look around, church. Not just here, but look around. Everywhere. You know, they talk about this falling away. And since COVID, Brother Rick, you know, what's it been? It's just been, you just see, people not committed, people not being stirred. They're more stirred over a Halloween candy and something happened at Halloween than what they are at church. Just preach it the way it is. They're more excited about Thanksgiving than they are at church. Oh, Christmas is coming now, baby. We got it. Oh, yeah, it's the birth of Jesus, but you know what? But we can't wait. We're already starting to decorate. Why? Because it excites us. You know what? What happens if we walk in that door Sunday morning and we come by back there with Rebecca and them sitting that right there, you know what? And we walk by and all of a sudden we just broke loose with a squall. Well, people think I'm crazy. No. Churches used to be full before the church started. People would come and seek the altars of God. You know what? What was they seeking? Because they needed something. You know, and when you get back and you think of all the things that what they're talking about, listen, Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. But listen, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Come on, that's something happening there. You know, and when we look at this right here, you know what? Well, you know, we all like to eat, we all like to drink, but you know what? But there's something more. It don't stop there. You know what? Listen here, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. Then he goes on there again, there at Abby, and he says, you know what? Rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. Most people say, well, Pastor, can you give me a definition in the Greek for that? But, preacher, you got to, yeah, I do. Rejoice. Happy. Joy. You know? And again, rejoice. That's exact. You know what? You don't have to, you know, somebody sees you happy, you know what? They don't have to, they know what you are. When they look at you, you know what, and you're laughing, and you know what, and maybe you know somebody's, well, I don't need to laugh in church, but let me tell you what, we need to let some of that joy express to our neighbors, because some of the people we sat beside in church hadn't shouted or moved in 10 years. I mean, you know, and you know, and all the things that we look, listen to this, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, rejoice forevermore. Must be something about it. You know, and when you go on down through there again, you know, in 1 Peter 4:13, it says, but rejoice. You know, Paul wrote, I think one time I listened to the guy saying, and Paul's what he was trying to tell people is, listen, I'm here to be a helper of your joy. Why? Because the church, you know what, they're right now as a group, as a body, you know, we're at a standstill. You know, and what it's going to take, it's going to take a breakout. You know what? And it's going to take a movement. You know, like, you know the song that they sing, we need a move. Well, what are you going to do to help the move? What, you know, and then, you know what a lot of people say, Brother Charles? Well, what's in it for me? I don't get nothing out of it. I ain't doing it. God don't bless me. I ain't doing it. I'll tell you right now. I'm the best Christian here they are in this house. I'm full of joy. But now if God don't do something mean, tell me, I'm getting nothing out of it. I ain't doing it. We're at a standstill. We need a move. We need a healing. We need salvation. Right? And the little guy at the gate, and Peter and John walked up to him, and Peter looked at him and said, such as I have, such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And they said the guy got up and went over and sat down and started eating a bowl of popcorn. Right? Is that what it was? I believe that's what it was. He went over and just sat down and they started eating a bowl of popcorn. What's the next movie going to be? No, the Bible said that they found him in the temple and he was leaping and jumping and rejoicing. And you know what? And everybody in there looks around, you know what? And they, I promise you, if you start jumping and leaping around, you know what? People look at you. You know what? And people probably even say some things like they said about him. Ain't that the man that sat at the gate? I believe that man was crippled. He couldn't get up and do nothing. But whoa, what happened? Look at him or something. You know what? All of a sudden they get interested. People out here, you know, outside these doors, they need to know that this church is alive, that we're not dead, but we're very much alive, and we're seeking something from God, and we're looking for a move of God, and we want a move of God happening. And you know what? It can't get by going out and gossiping and tattletaling all this stuff. It gets by seeking God's face and telling God what needs to happen. Barney Fife says, nip it. Right? Put a stop to it. We need to, right now, this is what we need. We need, as a body of this church and by the body, we need to be in agreement every service. This is a move, God. I'm part. You know why I come here? I love these people. And that man, me and him have been friends for years. And I go anywhere with him. He could call me and I go anytime, whatever he needs to. I'd help him in any way. But the reason I'm here is because I know what's preached here. I know what's taught here. You know what's taught here is what I like. It's what I like to hear. It's what I like to see. It's what I like to feel. I love the people that's here because you know why? Because when you talk to somebody from here and Brother James, you know what? When, if I called you up, you know what? I know that if I needed help, you know what it would be? It would be, yes, sir. We're family. You know what? Not only we're family, but Pastor, we're a group. We're a group that, you know what? We're a faith bunch. You know, and we stand together. So why can't we just get on together and dive in just a little deeper right there and express some more joy? Second Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort and exceeding joyfully in our tribulation. You know what that means? Together. We cry together. We shout together. We mourn together. And we run together. Right? Come on. I remember a few years back, and it's all right. I guess it's all right to go back a few years, ain't it? You remember? I'll just tell you why it's good to go back sometimes and think. You remember when they filled up all the wells? In the Bible, they filled all the wells up. And he went out and began to dig them up, redig them. And we were studying that one time, and somebody asked me, he said, why did they redig them? And I preached on it, I taught on it, but the other day I was thinking about it, Pastor, and it just hit me. And this is good. Because God wanted them to drink the same water that Abraham and them had drank. You know what? And that's why it don't cure to bring some of this stuff back up. Because our new people, some of you people ain't experienced some of it. And we need to redig that back up, you know what? So you can taste the goodness of it. You know, get a hold, like Brother Rick said, get a hold of that anointing that's in here. You know what? I promise you, there's an anointing in this house right there that'll break every yoke out there. There's an anointing in this house that'll put every devil in this country right there to flight. That hit. You know what? It can't come through that door. It tries many times. You know what? And if it can get in this house, you know what? It will try its best to disturb it. Now, it might disturb it outside. It might make it upset outside. But let me tell you, as far as it can go is to that door, and he can't go no further. And I'm going to tell you something else. And as far as that he can take you in your life is to your knees. And if you would get down on your knees just every once in a while, I promise you, it would stop. You know what? It wouldn't come through no more. And that's where we need to seek. That's where we need to get a hold of it. That's where we need to move on. God needs to move. It's a movement of God. You know, and all the things. I got seven things that I titled it, Who Needs It? And first person needs it is Tim Hall. Let me just share some of it with you. Won't keep you long. I could preach all night. I ain't preaching in a while, all right? So, listen. Write these down. The unexcited. Think about it. Half the people that comes to church is unexcited. They're not excited about nothing. You look around sometimes, Rick, and you're like, they ain't feeling the same thing I am. They're unresponsive. They don't see that. You know, the little lady that had the issue of blood, you know what? You know, and she was excited when she found out that she could get healed by just touching Jesus. She made her deal up. Nobody told her no. Nobody gave her a formula. She said in her mind, Charles, she said, if I can touch him, if I could touch the hem, just a little bit down here, maybe the shoelace is right. If I could touch that, I know. Listen to what she said. I know I'll be made whole. That's excitement. That's not unexciting. That's excitement. How many knows it? You know, like Mike said, some people try to make a doctrine out of it. You know, they try to make a church out of it. But you know what? How many of you know tonight that you know? I know that I know. But you know what? But Sister Debbie, I know in my heart there needs to be more. I need to be more excited. I need to be more, responds more. Be more verbal. Don't be ashamed. Another one. The unmoved. These are people that's in church. The unmoved. You usually have them in every church. They usually sit over by themselves or sit back there in the back. But you can't say that about them. I'm going to shoot this all over you. But a lot of people are unmoved. And they're unmoved by the Word. The Word should move us. The Word is fitted for you and I to move you and I. The Word is, you know what, holding that Bible right here and this Word of God right here. Everything that's written inside this Word right here is for you and I. From beginning to the end. It's the written Word of God. And how you apply it to your life is how your outcome of your life will be. If you need joy, you need more of this. You need to get more of this. You need healing? Guess what? You need to read more of this. You waiting on somebody to lay hands on you? A lot of people are just waiting on somebody at church. Well, you know, God really wants to heal me. God really wants to heal me. He'll speak to pastor, and pastor will call me out in church. Well, maybe there's other things going on in church, and pastor ain't got his mind on that. Maybe he's got his mind on something else. He ain't got his mind on what you want. And then I promise you, though, but if God speaks to me, he'll stop what he's doing, and he'll say, hey, wait a minute now. God wants you to come up here. But we're talking about the unmoved. You know why they're unmoved, Rick? Because they're waiting on someone else to move. Well, if James Lee would take off running, I'd run. Right? Even though you're sitting there and you're in the place and you're running, your feet are turning up and you wait. I don't want to be the first one. Well, maybe you need to be. Maybe you need to be the one that's moved and not unmoved. Listen, number three. The unrepentant. Most people these days, you know what, don't think they need to repent, Pastor Ed. Most churches today is preaching that you don't have to repent, that you're all right. That's the biggest thing. That's the biggest issue we're dealing with today. Is that people's teaching us, well, as long as you've been baptized, as long as you've been saved, as long as you've got your name on the book right there, you know, you're going to be all right. But my Bible tells me different. My Bible explains to me that, you know what, that sometimes I need to repent. And especially when I feel it down in my heart, Brother Rick, you know what, that there's something there, you know what, and God will check you. I promise you, God will check you, and he'll check you quick. I'm like, oh, man used to say years ago, he said, most Christians their condemner switches burn out. Remember those switches in the floor? How many remembers the switches in the floor? You know, you dim your headlights. And what they done, most Christians flip that switch and got turned off because they don't get condemned no more. We need to be responsive and repent. Repent before what? Because you know what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's near. When's the end of time? You know, everybody, it's funny to me. Everybody gets saved. I had some guys get saved and talk to me one time and they said, well, you know what the end of time's going to be? And I said, no, tell me. Haven't been saved a week, but they're going to tell me about the end of time. They get in church and they want to become a revelation expert. In 1 week. I've been doing this for 20 years, you know what? I'm still not an expert in it and never will be an expert in it. Because you know what? Because I learned something every time I read something. Sister Debbie, I see something different. Just like that one thing about the water. Why God wanted them. God wanted them to taste that water. He wanted them to taste, like Brother Rick said, that anointing. Wanted them to taste it. And see, and if we don't repent, Paul repented every day. And people say, well, you know, why Paul's sin? Listen, we're carnal. Do I want to sin every day? No. Would I sin every day? I try my best not to. You ever have a bad thought? Well, you ever get behind somebody on a road, on a two-lane road, and you're trying to get somewhere, and all of a sudden they go from 55 mile an hour down to about 20 mile an hour, and there ain't no way you can pass. And then when you get to the hill and you get ready to go around them, they floor it, and they get up in front of you, and they get back up there, and they pull back in front of you, and they lock her back up. And you're all holy and religious, and they, well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, glory to God. Woo, just thank you, Jesus, right now. Slowing me down right now. I'm going to save my tires. I'm going to save my gas. Insurance going to be cheaper. Woo, thank you, Jesus. No. What do they think they're doing? Right? Can we just be real, right? Yeah, but every day, you know, and we have some people say, well, you know, I pray every night. Well, do you really pray? Most people lay down and say, well, Lord, thank you. And I thank you for this day. And if I've done anything, Lord, forgive me. Good night. I was talking to the pastor. Could you imagine? I can't imagine. But could you imagine getting up every morning before God and just high-speed dance, whether you need to or not? For 30 minutes. I can't run to the refrigerator without breathing hard. I can see me get out of bed now. Wouldn't be the anointing of God hit me neither, I promise you. But I mean, you know, but to be committed to God at every day, or be like Dad Hagin, be so committed to somebody walk in the house and there you are studying and you're reading the Word of God and you're meditating on it, meditating on the Word, and they speak to you and you ignore them and they say, well, look at him, he's real holy. But they don't know what he's doing. I was thinking today and I went home today and went home and I thought, man, I'll go home and rest. And I sat there a minute, and the Lord said, really? You want to rest? And I said, yeah. Then I ended up back in the living room there in my Bible reading. Went back looking at some stuff that I had read and heard of a long time ago, and I thought, and it wasn't nothing that God wanted me to preach, but he wanted to refresh my mind on it. You know, God will refresh you every day. I told Pastor, I said, I preached a revival one time in West Virginia. And it was a 7-day revival. And I preached 7 nights of the revival. Got up at 4 o'clock every morning. I ain't bragging on me. Got up at 4 o'clock every morning. Left. Got home at 5:30. Took a shower. Put my clothes on. Out the door in a church. Started at 7. 7 nights. And every day, Sister Debbie, on the way home, I'll say, Lord, who's preaching tonight? Well, you are. Good time to inform me, God. Every night, 7 nights, you are. You are. You are. And at the end of the 7th night, I went home and I sat there and I was wore out. But you know, the thing about that through that whole time, Charles, every night I had the best sleep. I had the best rest. My mind was clear. The Word of God flowed in my mind so easy. You know what? It was like just get up and it just flowed. And the Lord said, wasn't as hard as you thought, was it? I said, no, it wasn't. He said, when you be obedient to me and you listen, I'll fill your life. You know what brought back the Scripture to me? That's what I read today. That He will fill you. He'll open your mouth and fill it for you. And that's what God does for you. He'll feel things for you, you know. But we got to learn to repent. Number four, the uncommitted. I thought about that when Stephanie was talking about her sign-up sheet. Everybody likes something to happen in the church, but we don't want to commit. You know how things happens in the church? The angels don't come down at night and clean. They don't go out in the thing and cook. They run, and I'll tell you what happens, though, after the big dinner, everybody's run out of the gym. Ain't nobody has to be back there. And all of a sudden, all the angels come in and just, they're all back up. No, you've got people committed. And that's one thing that I've always bragged about this church. I don't care what it is. We've had people committed that would stay and do the extra thing. But you know what? And it's good to be committed to the church that way. But it's even better to be committed to God's Word and be more deeper in the Word and let God show you more in the Word. You know what? And be more committed about picking this Word up right here, whether you pick it up and read it or where you get a podcast and listen to it. I remember one time, and this guy was talking about, you know, the Bibles in prisons, you know, and they go out and they put these Bibles in the, you know, all these places. You know, and I thank God for them Bibles, because sometimes I've been places and I ain't had nothing to do, but I thought, man, if there's a Bible, I could read it. And guess what? Look over, there's one of them good Gideon Bibles laying there. And this one guy was in prison, and I've heard these Gideons tell this story. And he said, this guy was in prison, you know what? And he was the biggest drug dealer in prison. He could get anything he wanted. You know, so he'd get something to smoke, but he couldn't get nothing to roll it with. So he started using the Bible, the little thin pages of the Bible. Perfect, he said. He was smoking the Word. But one day, Brother James, he was smoking the Word, and he looked down, and he seen something about, for God so loved the world. And it got his attention. And he went back to his Bible, but guess what? He done smoked it all up. So he hollers out from the guard, and he says, please, please, whatever you do, can I have another Bible? No, you can't have another Bible, because all you're going to do is smoke it up. No, please, please, please. And he gets that Bible. And he gets in there, and he turns over to John 3:16. And he reads it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into this world not to condemn, but through him that they might be saved. And he gave his life to the Lord right there. And he became one of the biggest evangelists in prison that ever was. He didn't get out of prison, but he became somebody, and God used him to save other people. So when you get committed to the Word, you know what? And you stay committed right there, you know what? God, he'll open up. You know, the Bible says in Acts 10:38 that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. What did he do? He went about doing good and healing all of the land. That's what you and I are to do. We got that same, but we've got to be committed to it. Number five. Boy, I'm getting there, ain't I? The unidentified. Now think. You know, most people, you know, Brother Mike said it the best, and a lot of, most people don't want to be identified as a Christian. They want to go to church. They want the movement of God. But when they leave here, they don't want people to know they're going to church. You see it. You see people, they'll go and sit down at a restaurant. And they'll get their food. And I'm guilty sometimes. I forget to pray over my food. You know. But you'll see them, they're like, they're getting something. Say, Lord, thank you for this food. They don't want people to see them. Have you ever seen it happen? I have. Afraid it might draw attention. I want to be identified. I want to be identified. Smith Wigglesworth, you know, get everybody's attention, right? You remember that? Yeah. He said Smith Wigglesworth, when he prayed over his food, he'd stand up in where, don't matter where he was at, and he'd ding, 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 ding. Can I have your attention? We're getting ready to address the holy God above. Well, you think you stand up at McDonald's and do that, what you'd get? But it should be. We should not be not afraid to be identified. Most people identify themselves, you know, when you've seen them. They put that little thing on the back of their car, that little fish. Then you go over here to the middle, and they got the little cross and little thing. You know. Then you go over on this side, you know, my child attends Sunday school. The only reason they attend Sunday school is because it's a babysitter. Yeah, a babysitter. Part of the babysitter club. But then when you follow them around all day, you think that little fish, and then, you know, the things you see them do, you think, well, they ain't no Christian. Remember the joke? You remember the people talk about the joke when they pulled up behind the lady, you know, and they arrested her and they took her to jail, and then they asked, she said, why'd you take me to jail? Because you stole that car. That's my car. You could have proved it by me. That's my car, she said. He said, well, he said, I knew when I seen that I believe sign on the back of it. Then I seen the little fisherman on it. Then I seen my child attend Sunday school. And then I'm not ashamed to be the Christian. I knew by the reactions you was doing and the way the hand signals that you was giving the people next door, you had to steal that car because a Christian wouldn't do that. He goes back to that, being frustrated. Right? But now listen. How many wants to be identified as Christ? He's identified with us, right? Yeah. If I abide in him and he abides in me and we abide in the Father, we're all together, right? Then we know what? Then not only that, then we begin to be powerful. You know the church is powerful. Think about it. The most powerful force on the earth is the church. And we lack the power of that. Why? These things, unexcited, unresponsive, unrepentative, all these things. The unsure. You ever met anybody with the unsure club? I evangelize some. I go to some churches and I see a lot of the unsure club. Well, if God's will to heal me, he will. If it be God's will, he'll touch me. But it's got to be God's will. Well, I read in God's Bible, in the Bible, that it is God's will to touch us. Every one of us to be healed. But you know what? But most people are unsure. You know what? And you know what? And a lot of times, you know what? They'll talk people in that's getting saved, you know what? And they'll have them so unsure of what they're doing. They're so confused. They don't know whether they're saved, whether they're lost or what. You know what? That's why I love about Pastor. You know what? You know what? And when he preaches the word. You know what? And he don't sugarcoat it. You know what? And he lets you know. A lot of people say, well, he shouldn't say that on TV. Guess what? No, the world needs to hear it. We need to, you know what? And sometimes we ain't harsh enough. Sometimes we're not preaching hell hot enough when we ought to preach fire and brimstone. You remember like some of the old-fashioned preachers, they would preach it so hot. You know what? It would hurt you to sit in the church house. We've got away from that. Well, I don't want to run off my crowd. I don't need a crowd of people that's not committed. But we need a crowd of people that's committed. You know what? And that's not afraid of the word. You know what? And sometimes you've got to get up and say, ouch, that hurt. But that goes back to that unrepentant. That's where you need to repent. I'm hurrying, I promise. The unsaved. And this is a big one. You know, you got people that will go to church for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. Never get saved. And most of them, you know what all they need to do? No, half of them people, I'll say more than half, 75% of them people, you know what all they got to do? Is tell somebody. Because they're probably more saved than most people in the churches. Because they're more committed. They're probably more committed, too. But somebody told me, I had a good friend of mine, and thank God he found God before, you know, he passed away. But he was a cousin of mine out there. And, you know, he would come to church sometimes, you know, and he'd sit back there and he'd cry and he'd wall and he'd just go over and you'd talk to him and you'd try to get him saved. And he said, man, I'm a traveling. I said, where are you traveling to? Well, they told me I have to travel. I said, that ain't what I read. And then I'd take my Bible out and I'd show him and I'd read it to him right there. And he said, I know, but you know, but these old saints of God that's been around for 50 years, you know, that's been preaching that everybody trusts and everybody wants them to do their funerals because, you know, they're the pillar of the community. Says you have to travel. My aunt, let me tell you this. My aunt, she had cancer and she was dying and she was just about on her last thing. And I told her, I said, I've got to go see her. God wants me to go see her and I've got to go see her. I went up there and I sat down beside her. You know what? Her name was Joy. It's funny. And I sat down and I said, Aunt Joy. And she said, yes, Timmy. I said, Mike told me, my cousin was Michael, and he said, Mommy wants to be saved, but she can't accept it. They've told her she's had to do this and do this and do that to get saved. And I said, Aunt Joy, I said, you want to be saved? Timmy, I'd love that better than anything in my life. I said, do you love the Lord? I love him for everything in my heart. She said, there's no greater joy in my life when I think about Jesus or God. I thought, wow. I said, well, what's the problem? She said, come up here the other day and told me they had to take me down to the creek and baptize me or I couldn't get saved. She said, I can't get in the water for my infections and everything that's wrong with my body. She said, I can't do it. I told her, I said, well, if you did, you know, God would take care of you. But I said, I understand. I said, what if I told you I can baptize you right there where you're sitting? She opened her eyes up and looked at me and she said, can you? I said, I sure can. I said, they can take me a washcloth and a cup of water and I can pour over your head and I can say, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, baptize you right here. She went, really? I said, yes. I said, do you believe that can happen? She said, I believe it. I asked her son, because I didn't want to make him mad. I said, is this okay with you? He said, as long as my mommy accepts Jesus Christ, he said, I'll take anything. They went and got me a wash rag. And I went and got me a cup of water with Brother Rick. And I poured that little water over my little aunt's head out there. And I spoke them words right there. And son, she shouted and raised her hand to God, you know what? And got saved that day. And then the next 3 or 4 days, she passed away. You know, she was just waiting on that peace in her life to go on. You know what? But we need to let people know, the unsaved, what they're missing out on. Man, I've had more fun and more joy in my life being saved than I have unsaved. I was a heathen. As Paul said, I was probably the chief of all sinners. I was mean. You all didn't think I could be mean, do you? But you know what? I seen one day there was something more. There was something greater. And I asked a friend of mine once, I said, what is everybody so excited? You know, I went to church and Sunday school and youth group when I was little, but you know what? Never got taught nothing. All I was attended, so if I'd attended, I'd get to go on all the carnival rides and get to go to the King's Island or Camden Park with them. That's about all you went for, because they never, you know what, you went there, they read you a story in the Bible, they never taught you nothing out of it, they feed you a sandwich while you was there, you know, praise God, you got to eat. But wasn't being taught nothing. But, you know, but then they got in church, you know, and got hooked up. You know, and my wife's family, you know, they sung. We traveled and we sung. And went all over the place and seen a lot of things happen, seen a lot of good things happen. You know, got involved, you know. And then I met a man named Mike Tackett. That was whoa. Got to be free to know how I bribed him with a slapstick. I could bring a slapstick and work and say, look here what I got. I can run any piece of equipment I want to run that night on the job. But you know what? And about in that time, I had backslidden. Remember that? Yep, moved the piano out of your all's house to the little church downtown. You know, started building this church, and I'd stop by and see him, talk to him, you know, out there and stuff. You know, I'd left Branham and Baker and went back to Martin County. I built the first podium that the church had down there in town for him. It's been all the time God's wanted me to be here. I've just been running from it, you know, going different places. Then I got hooked up, got in the Word, started being taught. Started listening to some man named Darrell Huffman, you know. And all of a sudden, you know, Pastor Ed introduced me to some Kenneth Hagin books. Wow, you're talking about a life changer. Changed it. And I know it kind of slows it down a little bit, but you know what? But there's more out there for us. And God wants us to be, He wants us to be a moved church. He wants us to be a joyous church. He always says a church alive is worth the drive, right? And it's worth it. It's worth seeing your family saved. It's worth seeing you healed. You know what? Let's tell them, Pastor Day, you know what? We've seen how many miracles have you guys seen in this church? Think about it. Miracles. That often excited us enough right there to whatever service we come in. We can't contain ourselves. Larry Doody, I remember just a while back right there, you know what? When he come in right there, you know what? And nobody got excited. Jeremy seen it right fast, recognized what it was. Said, hey, Pastor, you need to pray for this man. Instead of saying, hey, Pastor, call 911. Huh? They prayed for him. How many was here that night? Whoo! Was that good? Yeah, I mean, you know, we see right before your eyes, you see the miracle take place. You know, that ought to be enough in itself to keep us excited. You know what? And we look all around this church and there's been people. Rebecca's been touched. Rick's been touched. All you people. Everybody's been touched by God. You know what? That ought to keep us excited by just looking around and seeing the people that was us here and what God has done in their life and how God took them. And when the world said, you know what? You're going to die. But guess what? I'm not got joy. You ain't gonna make it. I've got joy. You ain't gonna make your next card payment. Woo, I got joy though, you know what? And it's full of glory and it's unspeakable. And God will take me where I need to be. That's where we need to be today. Excited, not unexcited. A movement. We need a move. How many degrees we need to move? See, we raise our hand and we know we need to move. Now, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? You're going to fill your life with excitement. I want to be filled with excitement. I want to be filled with God's anointing. I mean, remember the old saying, they say, you'd be walking around and all of a sudden a cold chill come on you. Woo! A lot of old timers used to say a possum walked over your grave. Remember that? Y'all remember that? Anybody remember that old saying? You know, you ought to say, whoo, that's just Holy Ghost. Yeah. That Holy Ghost is full of glory. It'll make you do things. You know what? God will make you do things you never thought you could do. He'll make you even act like you never thought you could act. Right? I've told it before. I tell you again, me and Pastor Ed was at and Pastor and Willie and Charles and them, I think, was there maybe. All of them. We was at Rod Parsley. What's the one we was at Rod Parsley, wasn't it? Y'all remember being at Rod? You all was there too. Was you there? Yeah. All of us up. You all remember being up there, Patty, all those? And Pastor said, I want to set you all in the back. You know, that was my first time. He said, I want to set you in the back. And we sat in the back up on the balcony. Remember that? And here we sat over there, you know what? And all of a sudden, you know, when they begin to look and praise and worship, you know, you look across there, there's 7,500 people going. And you know, you're like, yes. And then they begin to sing a song, you know, I can dance, I can run out, I am free. I am free to run. Remember that? They sung that song for 2 hours. And right, you remember this, Pastor? Right at the first of service, this little lady, she turns the corner and she's got a walker and she's walking up through there and she gets up there and sits down in front of where we're at there. And about halfway through that song, she kicks her walker off and throws that thing out of the way and she takes off down these steps running. God got a hold of that lady. We kicked our shoes. I don't know where we had to dig around that place to find our shoes because they was everywhere. Jamie was with us that time. You remember? OJ's son, Jamie Warman, he was with us. And I experienced one of the greatest nights in my life. And I've never felt so free. And I left there that night, you know, and I said, God, this is what I want. This is what I want. You know, and just like you heard Pastor Huffman talking to you, but you just don't get this overnight. You have to work at it. You have to be involved. You have to be excited. You have to be committed. You can't be moved. You've got to be like that tree that's planted by you. You need to be planted. So tonight, let me ask you a question. I'm here tonight to be a helper of your joy. And this is just what I feel in my heart, and I hope it's okay, Pastor. I just want to pray for you tonight. If you're lacking joy, I want to pray tonight that you find that joy. And I know you might say, well, it's Wednesday night. It'd be a great night to start a revival. Wouldn't it? Brother Mike said he'd preach, he was 50-night revival and preached 40 nights of them. Well, who would preach this? Well, whoever pastor said preach would preach it. Well, I never seen a revival like that. Have you ever wanted it? See, there's a difference in wanting and just speaking. But you know what? In a 40-night revival, you'd have to be a 40-night committer. You want to move with God? You have to be a committer. How much are you committed to see this move? You need joy? I'm here tonight to help you. You know, I ain't got nothing. It's God what's got it. God can express it out tonight to you and fill you up tonight. If you lost your joy, there's a replacement here tonight. And it's called the Holy Ghost. He'll fill you. So if you would just stand with me. Anybody here, before I give this mic back to him, anybody here, I just want to help you. Well, if I come up here, people think I'm just the saddest person in the world. No. They just know that, you know what? I'm going to tell you what, I need more joy. Sometimes I want to lay hands on myself and say, Lord, self, fall out. I need joy. I need this. Anybody here? Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Come on.